Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the bunch on 3rd and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
I believe as the Joker told the... anyone who was listening in the movie Batman Begins, or no, actually it was The Dark Knight, the second one. And here we go.
Do you remember that line? The Heath Ledger line?
Yeah, okay. That's what we're doing. Here we go. Playoffs are here. This is what we've been waiting for all year long. Yeah. This is what we've been waiting for since the end of last year.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And did we not? And by the way, hi, everybody. I thought I'd just jump right into it. Welcome inside Patriots Playbook for a Wednesday. A little bit of an abbreviated week because of the holiday celebration on Monday, but we're glad to be with you. We'll be here today and tomorrow. For those of you that are looking for Game Show Wednesday, it's actually going to morph to Game Show Thursday tomorrow because there's a lot to get to today. We wanted to make sure that the football business gotten taken care of. You know, we had to get
a good way to end the week.
Yeah, and we had to get to the meat and potatoes before we got to the dessert.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of how I looked at it.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing. Opening hour of the program tomorrow will be Game Show Thursday, where we'll play some game shows. We got some prizes to give away. Russell Baxter will join us tomorrow's program as well to look at the wild card matchups and to see if we can figure out what might be the best and get his thoughts on what might be the best matchup for New England. Now, I know already you and I agree as to who we think the Patriots are going to face in the opening round.
Cincinnati Bengals.
Yes, I do believe Cincinnati will be it. I'm not sure that's necessarily the team I would put, I would select if I had a choice, if I could make a choice.
Denver.
Yes, I think I probably would take Denver. But I did want to open this up to our listeners today. You know, it's a very simple question. Which and why? Which of the three possibilities do you feel like you would prefer and why? Now, I said last week.
Can I throw a third one in
there? Yes, you may.
Assign a percentage to your confidence level that they will beat whoever that opponent is.
Good one. Yeah, I know you guys were talking a little bit about that.
Did that a little bit on PFW in progress.
So let's continue that thought process, all right? So which team, why them, percentage chance of victory. Does that work?
Sure.
Okay.
Yep.
So if you can include that, webradio@patriots.com is how you reach us. There are a ton of emails that I know PFW did not get to, and we will get to as many of them as humanly possible. But I want you to include these thoughts in your process if you have not yet emailed the show. webradio@patriots.com, our ace ticket hotline, 508-298-0398. Hit me up on Facebook. The name, of course, John Rook, R-O-O-K-E. You can submit the friend request. We'll answer that, and then you can chat and post, and we can do all kinds of things on Facebook. And, yes, the Twitter page, at J-Rook, J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722. Follow me on Twitter, and I'll follow you back. How's that? Okay. Now, before I get to the phones, because Melvin's in Tennessee, and he's been kind enough to hang on, what we wanted to do is which and why. Which team you prefer, why you prefer them, percentage chance of victory overall, correct?
Yep.
All right. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I feel like with Cincinnati, and I do feel like it'll be Cincinnati just because of Houston's misfortune more than anything else.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for the Texans what's happening.
Don't you think?
This year.
Yeah. This was kind of their year to carpe diem, and they haven't done it because they've been banged up.
They were one of the – they might have been the best team in the AFC if they hadn't been all banged up.
I think it's possible. I think it's possible. I certainly look like they had the personnel, but I think we all know that injuries are a part of the game.
And third seed is nothing to sneeze at.
No.
At all.
No,
but I think they could have been even better.
It's their first year to ever make the playoffs. Yeah. They had a chance, though, to probably go 12-4 or 13-3 like the Patriots had they remained healthy. And the trouble was is they got too many key players banged up. It's still gone down as a record-setting year in Houston.
Sure.
But you're right. I honestly don't see them getting past this weekend.
Be tough. It'd be tough, and I wonder whether or not they'd be better off with Jake Delhomme, given his experience
probably
level in big games.
Probably.
But it looks like they're going to go with Yates, at least to start.
Can't say that that's a bad idea. I think you want to try to remain as constant as you can. And I think that's given a lot of confidence to the young kid who's actually had to carry them through a, you know, good portion of the schedule later in the year. But, it's a little unfortunate. I mean, I was hoping to see good things and big things, and they had some pretty decent personnel groupings and good-looking team. They had done it, you know, it's taken them a long time, but they finally put it together, and I think injuries are going to keep them from doing a lot. We'll see. I mean, you know, time will only tell, obviously. How's that for a well-worn, trite cliche that we'll use in the business here? I had something else I was going to add, and I completely and totally have forgotten it because I'm concentrating on the phones. So let's get Melvin in here because he's been kind enough to wait. Melvin in Tennessee, you're in the playbook. How are you today, Melvin?
I'm great. How are you?
We're great. What's on your mind?
So on my mind, like I said, I can start by saying I agree that they will probably play Cincinnati first.
Yep.
I think that, you know, last year, you know, well, of course, Gronkowski and Spike Mountain, they were rookies. You know, and I think Gronkowski and Brady were completely off on that Jets game for some odd reason. But if they were to play Cincinnati, I say I'd give them a 80% chance of winning. You know, once they get that confidence, you know, a lot of players last year were first-year players. They get that confidence going. This is New England. They're at home. They play Cincinnati. Kind of the younger team, a lot younger team. Hopefully not Pittsburgh, but I still think they'll beat Pittsburgh 50-50. Well, probably about 60-40 on that. But with Cincinnati, I'd say I would be confident that it'll be 80-20. I say New England gets it going and they can roll on to the AFC championship game.
I think it's pretty good, Melvin. I think that's a pretty good assessment. I don't have any problems with that. I would tend to probably agree with you where Cincinnati is concerned. If it is Cincinnati, about an 80% chance. If it's Denver, I would say it might be a little higher than that. I feel confident against Denver. If it's Pittsburgh, I wouldn't feel quite as confident. I think you're pretty much spot on.
Right, and against Pittsburgh, I always still think that. I could go get a Washington State team and look good against the St. Louis Rams and the Browns and see how some of those teams they've been playing. I think that they played a lot. They've had a really easy schedule, and I feel like whenever they have to go on the road, they look atrocious. They had to go against the 49ers, the Texans earlier in the year. I mean, New England was the only good team they beat, and plus, you know, they were at home. They need to come to New England, and that'll be a whole different ball game. Mm-hmm. Let's not forget that, you know, Pittsburgh, when they're now 2-6 against New England, I can remember. And so I would say the only reason why I would, you know, Pittsburgh's a little bit veteran team. They're a little bit more, you know, of course they have that experience, but I would still think that New England's beat them a 4-2 down there. I think that, you know, Pittsburgh's banged up and they don't look that good on the road this year.
Well, I think that's, you know, Eric was talking about that, and I think that's certainly one of the huge factors right now that the Patriots, as bad as things may have been, and as we've kind of, you know, hammered on the defense all season long, fact remains is that there aren't too many teams that are in what we would call much better shape than how New England sits right now. I mean, you know, Pittsburgh is banged up. Hey, you're going to find that because of playing a lot of the second and third teamers this last week, Green Bay actually statistically has a worse defense now than New England in terms of points allowed and things like that. So, the one thing that Green Bay does well is they turn the other team over. That's what has obviously helped the Patriots to do what they've done. Patriots, I think, ended up number one in the AFC in turnover differential. So we said this weeks ago, and this is what it's going to boil down to in the playoffs. You got to have a quarterback, I think, that's seasoned. And I think we've got five quarterbacks now that have won championships that are currently out of the 12 teams in the playoffs. Last I checked. Does that sound right to you?
Brady, Breeze, Rodgers.
Roethlisberger. Who am I leaving out?
Eli Manning.
Okay, so five quarterbacks. I think your Super Bowl champion, my prediction is, it comes from that group of five. I don't think it's impossible for any of the other seven to get in, but I think given what we have this year, knowing that it's going to take offense to win this thing because nobody really has the defense, I'm going to put my money on one of those five, number one. And number two, I'm going to look at a defense that can make a play and can turn the other team over. And, you know, I'm looking at, you know, hey, if it ends up being New England Green Bay, and I actually don't think it'll be New England Green Bay.
I don't think so either. I don't think Green Bay
gets
there.
Either us or Green Bay is going down, one or the other. And I don't think anybody should be terribly shocked by that because I think there are some teams that are poised now to get on a roll. I don't think that they're necessarily in the AFC. I think that Green Bay may be more likely to lose, believe it or not, than New England. But, again, that's just my thought right now.
I think the Saints can beat them and will.
I think the Saints can, and I do believe New Orleans right now. I don't think you should sleep on the Giants.
Well, especially after what we saw in 07.
Yeah. I know. I just don't think you can sleep on the Giants.
That was the worst team, I think.
I don't want to. Yeah,
07 was a worse team than this one.
I would agree. I would agree. I would agree with that. But I just.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say one more thing. You know, if you think about it, all those teams, you know, like even when the Saints won their Super Bowl, there was no way that year they were really better than the Colts and the Giants. No chance of them actually losing to New England. If I remember, they were number 16 on their list. So, yeah, they lost too. And then last year, the Steelers should have beaten the Green Bay Packers. It's always normally a sleeper team. And see, New England came into that season last year red hot, blazing hot. They were 14-2, you know, one last eight by beating people 34-0 and stuff like that. So I'm kind of glad that they've had a kind of rougher season, you know. So it might get them a little bit more playoff prepared to go into this postseason,
yeah,
versus last season, you know.
Yeah,
I think, you know, to get a little chip on their shoulder, that's normally the team to win, is the team with the little chip on their shoulder to get it going.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. I would agree with that wholeheartedly. I think you're going to have a little bit of a chip. Here's another way that they can get that chip on the shoulder, and I've heard this debated, you know, not only locally but nationally as well. Some of you may have heard this as well. And I don't know what you think about this, Eric, but honestly, you know, you look at the Patriots 13-3. They played what I guess has been determined only two, quote-unquote, quality opponents this year.
Pittsburgh.
They lost.
The Giants.
They lost.
Mm-hmm.
So that means they're 13-1.
And you're not counting the other playoff team, no. Denver.
Denver.
Who they beat because...
Because they're
you don't
500 record.
Yeah.
So if you look at it, the Patriots really haven't beaten anybody. They went 13-1 against a mishmash schedule. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, what comes to mind to me when I hear that argument is, well, you can only play the teams that are on your schedule. They couldn't do anything about the rotation of the division and everything else this year, the divisions, because this is what the NFL mandated they play.
No, you're right about that. What the argument I think some people might be making is the manner in which they beat the teams that they did beat. Having to come from behind a lot of times. Slow starts against teams that they should have put away a lot sooner.
No question. I think they toyed with guys. I think they toyed with teams. Honestly, I think this team has been capable of hanging 40 on anybody on any given day in
right.
the NFL.
Because you take away the first quarter in a lot of these games when they haven't put up any points or even the first half.
How about against Miami? 27 second half points.
Yeah. Zero first half.
Exactly. So, you know, I mean, you know, if we can figure out a way, and I'm sure that's something the Patriots are working on this week, but you got to figure out a way to kind of get this thing jump-started, then, you know, then I think you're getting a little bit closer to the 2007 standard that was set around here. You know, this being said, I know there's an interesting conversation that came up. Bill Belichick was asked about this yesterday. He said, have you thought about not deferring and taking?
That was our Paulie Perillo who asked that.
Taking the kickoff. And apparently this is a decision that is judged on a week-to-week basis. But I think we all know that in a perfect world, the Patriots would rather defer because they really like their ability to score in a two-minute offense and then have the football to start the second half.
Yeah.
And frankly, I don't. With the way that this team is built, I see no reason to really break from that. Although now, given the fact that you've had a tough time starting, kick-starting yourself against two, let's just say game, but relatively mediocre opponents – in the last 2 weeks, I could see this team, you know, taking the football. I think it would be a nice move to take this football, run some no huddle, run some hurry up, jam it down
get
somebody's
points
throat,
on the board
get
right
points
away.
On the board.
I agree with you, John. Something needs to change. It troubles me that after 17 weeks, they're still talking about, oh, we need to have more fire coming out of the gates. We need to have stronger starts. You can't just... You can't just turn that around once the
right.
playoffs get here.
Right.
That's a systemic problem that should have been fixed a long time
well,
ago.
And that's why I'm, you know, I'm not completely jumping on the bandwagon today only because we've kind of seen that over the last 2 years and this has been part of the problem. And so you shouldn't have to, what's the word I'm looking for here? You shouldn't have to motivation should come from within. You shouldn't need other ways to motivate you. I mean, the Patriots will take, I guess, whatever perceived slight they're going to get from the national media this week or next week, and hopefully they'll put that up on their shoulders and utilize it to their advantage. But this team should be able to win and motivate itself on its own merit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that the way it's supposed to be?
Especially with the talent that they have on offense.
What teams in the NFL playoffs now?
Before you go on, I could just say, I can understand from the defense's perspective because I don't think the defense has the talent that the offense has.
Right.
So I can see where it takes them a little while to get started because maybe they need that because the players aren't really that great.
So maybe then we let the offense take a little burden off of the defense.
I say you're right. Let them get the ball first. Let them start it off. Let them put points on the board. Help motivate your defense a little bit. Switch it up, Bill. That's what I say.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. Go on.
No. I think that's fine. I think that's good. Let's get Joe in Florida in here. Joe, you're on the playbook.
Hi. I think the team that we're going to face is going to be the Bengals.
Okay.
I think that one of the biggest things that we have to worry about is definitely A.J. Green and having somebody man-to-man with him.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a big problem.
Yep.
And I think 80-20. For winning against the Bengals.
Okay, that sounds about right. I mean, you know, what you do is you're confident with the Patriots in that regard, but at the same time you realize that hey, you know, Cincinnati is in the playoff derby. They're in the tournament. You turn the ball over and you give Cincinnati a short field to work with. They do have a capable running back. They have some capable receivers. They can beat you.
What is it? What is it about Cincinnati that you think makes them vulnerable? Most vulnerable.
I think our offense is definitely more high powered than their defense. Our offense is easier to make bigger plays than they do.
Okay. Yep.
Outplay them on offense, you know.
Okay. How do you feel about Andy Dalton?
I think he's real good. I mean, everybody's taking him lightly in the playoffs, but I think he's definitely something to look out for.
For a rookie quarterback, I think he's done a phenomenal job.
I think he had a very solid season.
Absolutely.
We wouldn't categorize it maybe as spectacular, but what you'd had was a guy that certainly came in and exceeded some expectations.
Absolutely.
I think. Because he caused his play basically gave Cincinnati a reason to get rid of Carson Palmer.
Yes.
Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And the fact that he got them, I mean, let's just remember, Drew Bledsoe, number one overall pick in the draft, started his rookie year.
It's true.
And did no better than what, 5-11? Is that what they were?
Yeah.
It's not easy to play quarterback in this league as a rookie. It's not easy to play quarterback in this league at all.
Period.
Let alone as a rookie.
As a rookie.
And to get your team as a rookie to the playoffs is outstanding.
Yeah. You know, the one thing about Dalton is, and I heard this phrase a lot when he was at TCU, he's just a winner. You know, you heard that about Colt McCoy at Cleveland and some others, and obviously Tim Tebow is another one. That's a great example right there, obviously, and we spent weeks talking about it. And I think Dalton obviously has more of a team built up around him, perhaps than the other guys. But I think Dalton and Tebow, even though Tebow is not technically a rookie, the fact is that the comparison is accurate because this is Tebow's first time to take charge of a team in the NFL, just like it is for Dalton. I don't think there's going to be too much that's going to rattle Dalton. You might be able to show him some different looks and things to cause a little indecision there, and that might ultimately be his undoing. But the one thing you want to do on anybody in this is you want to get him down, you want to get him on the ground, you want to punk him upside of the head, and then you don't want to let him up. And I think that's how you have to approach the playoffs.
If you can do that.
And I don't think the Patriots did that in either one of their last two playoff games.
I think the key to that is to keep Julian Edelman on defense.
Well,
the key to getting the quarterback?
Keep Julian Edelman on defense because he was doing great that one time when they had him in on defense, rushing the quarterback, covering, making tackles.
You don't want him rushing the quarterback. On a regular basis. That's like putting Kyle Arrington back there last year. That was a novelty experiment that only lasted a couple of weeks.
But you're right about his athleticism.
He's athletic, and his
enthusiasm.
You don't want to rely on him as your pass rush.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, Joe. Hey, thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Good stuff. All right. So Joe in Florida. And we had our caller from Tennessee.
Bengals are unanimous so far.
So far. And now here's our good friend Olivier in Virginia. And by the way, Olivier, thank you for the Christmas card.
Oh, you got it. Great. I'm glad. Happy New Year to you guys.
Happy New Year, Olivier.
Thank you. Before I answer the question, I wanted to ask, to start another topic. You know, we've seen what's happened in Indianapolis with the GM that got fired, and some people say that they got fired because they didn't plan for the for not having a good quarterback should Manning get hurt. We've been, you know, talking about Belichick, the GM, and the coach and so forth. But the question I have is, if we have coordinators like O'Brien that leave for better pastures, and if we upgrade from within, and what happens if Bill has a heart attack or gets into a car accident? What happens to the franchise? Who is the person that is being groomed right now to start taking over? Because I don't know when Bill's contract expires.
Nobody
I know
does.
Brady is in 2 years, but I don't know about Bill. I don't know how long he's going to be staying on. Are we thinking about the aftermath already, or should we?
Well, the title of assistant head coach belongs to Dante Scarnecchia. So if something were to happen to Bill, Dante would take over as head coach.
Okay.
And that's been in place for since 2000, since Bill got here. He relied on Dante from the get-go, given his experience and his breadth of knowledge of the game, really on both sides of the ball, even though Dante's mostly been a special teams and an offensive coach in his career. He does have a little bit of experience on defense. So and he's the elder statesman of the staff. So if anything were to happen to Bill, the team would be in very good hands with Dante overseeing
good,
things.
Good.
Okay.
So I guess
now tell
I
us
guess
about
my
yeah.
My
tell us your thoughts here. Yeah, you got go.
Yeah. I'm not sure if we're going to meet the Bengals, but what I hope is that we meet the Steelers and we meet the Giants in the Super Bowl if we go there.
Oh boy.
That's
for a little payback.
Well, you know what though? Hey,
careful what you wish.
Hey,
for.
Olivia, that's kind of what I thought last week. I wanted to take on the toughest road.
The Jets, right?
Yeah, I would love to have had the Jets, and obviously they're not in the Derby. Ha ha. But I wouldn't mind seeing Pittsburgh come in and then go to Baltimore and then go get the Giants. I really
Baltimore
wouldn't
would come here.
Right. Well, that's what I meant. Yeah. I mean, you'd get Baltimore to come here, but I really wouldn't mind that because that would certainly shut people up if you were able to get, you know, all the way to the end, right?
Absolutely. But I don't know if it's going to happen. I mean, I think ultimately, if we play the Bengals and if we win, and I hope we will, I think it's going to do a lot to motivate the team and to strengthen their confidence because ultimately we are, you know, 0-2 for first playoff games anyway.
Well, here's what they have to do. They have to beat the Bengals from the opening kickoff. They can't afford to have another come-from-behind victory because that's not going to do anything for your confidence but worsen it, I think. They need to because the same old questions are going to be asked of them when we get in the locker room afterwards. Why the slow start? Why'd you have to overcome it? Did you get lucky with turnovers? They can't afford to do that. They need to destroy their opponent from the beginning in order for this defense to have any confidence.
Do you think that the problem is just about the defense? I think the offense
not at all.
A hard time to start.
Not at all. But as John and I were saying before, maybe it's time to stop deferring when you win the coin toss and say, yeah, we'll take the ball. And it doesn't matter if we don't have the ball to start the second half because we're going to be up by 21 at that point.
That's
the kind of attitude they need. That's the kind of attitude they need because, I don't know, some people like to say, I don't know if I necessarily subscribe to this all the time, but some people like to say the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result.
That's true.
And they always defer when they win the toss, and they've had a problem starting this season on offense and on defense. Why not switch it up?
Yeah, agreed. What do you guys think? Do you think that there is a real possibility that we play the Bengals? What happens if the Texans win?
If
we meet the winner of the Steelers Broncos.
Right. If the Texans win, then the winner of Denver Pittsburgh will come to New England.
Mm. Bad situation already.
Well, it depends on how you look at it. I mean, I don't think anybody really feels like Denver's going to win that game, although I guess, you know, I mean,
I give Denver more credit than most people.
Denver's going to have a puncher's chance here because Mendenhall's not playing for Pittsburgh.
And I'll tell you another reason why. And this is very simplistic, but Denver's due for a win.
Yeah.
Denver has lost since the New England game.
They are.
They've lost. And I don't like to play a team that's on a losing skid because the onus is on the other team, not on the team on the losing skid. And Denver's going
to
be at home. Pittsburgh is banged up.
That they start Quinn just to throw off the entire game?
No. Not at all. It's Tebow's team. He will take them as far as they're going to go.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for your time. Thanks for the hospitality, and I guess we'll talk later on.
Good stuff, Olivier.
We will. Take care.
Take care, man.
You got it. All right. That, I have to admit, I'm going through about 65 different messages here in two different sources, so pardon me if I appear to be somewhat distracted. I have to admit that I thought at least initially that I was going to get on the Houston bandwagon, but as you and I spoke, you know, opening up the show and realizing that they're so banged up, and then the next thing I thought of was that, you know what, Denver, you know, when I heard that Mendenhall was definitely not going, they got a couple of other injury situations. Who's the defensive, the safety that's not playing?
Ryan Clark.
Thank you, Ryan Clark. So, I mean, I'm thinking, you know,
there's an opportunity.
There's an opportunity there. And I wouldn't be at all surprised to see both Denver and Cincinnati advance in this particular instance. I just, you know, it could happen. And in that case, we'd still play Cincinnati because Cincinnati is the lowest seed.
But then once Denver wins a game, who knows? They go to Baltimore, and as we've seen this year, Baltimore has played to their competition, by and large.
Right.
They've played really well against good teams, and they haven't played so well against bad teams. Think what you will about Denver, but they're right in the middle there. So that means to me, if Denver can escape Pittsburgh this Saturday, or no, Sunday.
Sunday.
I give them a fighting chance going to Baltimore.
Yeah. Got a shot. LaShawna in Las Vegas. Officer, how are you today?
Hey, how are you, John?
Great. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. I'm great.
Awesome.
I wanted to agree with you on a couple things.
Go.
And then, first of all...
You can hammer me later.
I did amateur boxing for 5 years, so...
So she will. She will. She will knock your ass out.
Sports. I love the, you know, all of it. I love it. But as an athlete, you never want to face the lesser opponent. I don't care what anybody says. You want to face the best that's out there.
Right.
So I agree with you on, I want to face Pittsburgh and I want to face the Ravens. But instead of the Giants, I would like New Orleans. Because
yeah.
To me.
Exciting game.
I want to see.
The best.
I want to see Drew Brees and Tom Brady go at it.
Yeah.
I don't care if the score is 68-60. I want to see it.
That'd be great. That'd
It'd
be a great
awesome.
Super Bowl.
That's,
wouldn't
to me,
it
that's
be?
The best way.
Yeah,
to go out, win the Super Bowl against Drew Brees, that's the best thing.
And it's going to be, well, and, you know, the Saints would have a bit of an advantage there because they'd be indoors at Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And they're used to playing
in a dome. Yeah, and I agree, and they're a dome
team. Yeah,
and they are a dome team.
I beat them in a dome. I have to admit that. But I think Tom Brady is an ultimate comeback king. He can do it with the best of them. Mm. So that's what I want. That's what I want to agree and disagree on. Instead of having the Giants, I'd like New Orleans.
Well, I consider, you know, I personally, my thought is that I think New Orleans is going to get there.
I agree with Eric.
They're kind of my pick to get there right now. I said Green Bay to start the year with a lot of other people. And I thought that the Patriots had a chance, although I didn't really expect that it would be that way. But now that we've started the playoffs and I've seen the momentum that New Orleans is kind of riding and knowing, as Eric just pointed out, that, you know, the Saints are going to be playing in a dome, you know, if they get that far, it's pretty hard not to look at New Orleans and say, wow, I could see where this team could really be somewhat problematic because I don't think Brees can be stopped. Here's a guy that completes three out of every four passes he throws, he attempts. I mean, it just, and the yards, and it would be a heck of a matchup if the Patriots could get there. The buildup between Brees and Brady would be just off the charts, off the hook. I don't think we have a snowball's chance, and you know what, to slow him down. I just don't. I mean, if it were
not with the defense we have.
Frankly, I feel like Green Bay gives us a better opportunity. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I just don't see the Xbox like nature of the Packers as that I do with the Saints. And I realize that doesn't, you know, because Green Bay had the better team. They were 15-1, but I just, there's something about Brees, man. And I just, oh, wow. I just don't like it. It's a lousy feel. I'd feel better about facing Green Bay than I would about Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints right now, especially because of the dome situation.
Yeah, I agree with you. I want to see them, to me, because in my opinion, they're the best team in the NFC. That's why I want to see them.
Yeah, I get it.
And I always like facing the best because if you beat the best, then you are the best. So.
No question. I don't want to shy away from anybody in this particular instance. And I think that, you know, if it were to be Pittsburgh and then Baltimore, I think that'd be great. You know, I think we all would love to see the Giants from a personal standpoint because it'd be a chance to exact a little revenge and make up for what happened a little bit in 07, even though nothing ever makes up for things entirely. I think we all know that. But certainly would do a lot of good to salving some wounds, you know, throughout Patriots Nation.
Okay, so we know who you want to see.
Who do you think will be there?
Now, who do you think will be there, and what's your percentage of confidence that they will win next weekend?
You know what? I feel like Denver is going to beat Pittsburgh. And I know that sounds crazy,
no,
but I just feel like they are.
I think you might be right there.
Okay.
And my percentage is 95-5. I don't think anyone is going to beat us in the first round. That's just my opinion. Last year, I felt like we were going to lose to the Jets, and we lost.
Yeah.
So.
And you feel differently this year. Okay.
So you think now that if Denver wins, and you're thinking that Houston beats Cincinnati, that Denver will come to New England?
Exactly.
Okay. And then if Denver does, you give them a 95% chance to win?
Yep.
Okay. You know what? I actually think that you're right. I think that if Denver does end up coming to New England, I like our chances of beating Denver a little more than I do of beating our chances of beating Cincinnati. Because I think Cincinnati does have a little better defense.
A.J. Green.
Yeah.
I don't like Cincinnati.
Yeah.
A.J. Green is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And that team they're young, but they're hungry. And I think that kind of team could upset
us. Scary.
Yeah. I don't want to see Cincinnati.
Okay.
Yeah.
I
think we might, though.
Yeah,
I think so too.
I just
worry about that kid. He has some athleticism that's crazy. Mm. And then Simpson at the other end, he is insane too.
Oh, yeah.
Doing flips in the end.
Yeah, he's pretty athletic too. Yeah.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Hey, LaShawna, thanks. Happy New Year to you.
All
appreciate
right.
that. All right. So Steve says on Facebook, he says, I honestly do not believe the Tebows will beat the Steelers even at home. Therefore, by default, I pick the Bengals. They have a very good chance of beating the Texans, so that if that is accomplished, they are the team we'll face. I'm not afraid of them, but I'm fearful of the Steelers. I don't fear the Ravens too much because Flacco and the offense will not be as capable of capitalizing on our defense as Roethlisberger would. The Ravens' defense is a bit scary, but I have faith in Brady to compete.
The Ravens have already come up here and won a playoff game. Let's not forget about that. And that was 2 years ago.
They certainly have.
That was when Flacco was 2 years not as good as he is now.
Correct.
With 2 years less experience.
Correct. All right, don't forget, webradio@patriots.com is how you reach us on the program. Our question of the day is which and why. Which team do you think will get here, and why do you think they'll get here? And a percentage chance of victory for the Patriots in the opening round over your chosen opponent. That's what we're looking for here today in the playbook.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y, right?
Ooh, no.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a Turbo Shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites. Your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
I love,
love
this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club story time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Now's your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, Facebook page, Twitter at jrook0722. Hit us on both of those. I got a couple of things that I wanted to take care of business-wise before we get back to the phones. Number one, I want to send some condolences out today to the family of Bob O'Donnell. Bob, for those that don't know, actually for several years, I think over 20, if I can recall correctly, operated the play clock here at Foxborough and then obviously later here at Gillette Stadium. And he was a part of our game day crew in the PA booth in the lower press box area here at Gillette. And usually, just for those of you that don't have the lay of the land, you know, there are the broadcast booths down low with all the press box stuff up high here at Gillette. And in the press box down low, you have, you know, Gil and Gino in the middle booth. And then you have, to their left, you have network TV. To their right, you have network radio. And then to the far left, you have visiting radio. And then to the far right, you have us. And then to our right on the extreme end is the stat crew. So that's how the booths line up along on the visitor's side of the field between, like, the 30-yard lines. If you're ever wondering what those booths were, that's where the broadcasters are. And Bob was in our booth along with the game clock operator, our scoreboard operator, myself, spotter, and usually an officials observer. And then various and sundry other flotsam and jetsam from time to time. People like try to get out of the cold.
Good words of the day, by the way.
Yeah, trying to get that, like, ooh, yeah, we might have to recall those. Sure enough, Kevin walks right out of the room. Could have used that as a cue right there. But Bob, great guy, wonderful gentleman. Unfortunately, he suffered a stroke this past week and passed away over the weekend. So I wanted to send my condolences out to Bob O'Donnell's family and his son Brian, who actually has taken over. For the last couple of years, anyway, since Bob retired, has taken over the play clock duty. So Brian O'Donnell is keeping it in the family business, so to speak, operating the 25 and 40 second play clock here at Gillette Stadium. And I wanted to pass out my condolences to the O'Donnell family. And I know the Patriots share that as well, as he's a huge part of our game day crew here at the stadium. And then in that regard, I also wanted to make mention of the fact that there's some congratulations to pass along. And a gentleman by the name of Shannon Sirakovich. I hope I pronounced it right, Shannon. I hope you'll forgive me for announcing your last name. I don't usually do that, but I thought in this particular instance you'd be okay with it. His East Side Razorbacks from South Australia have become the most successful team in Australian American gridiron history. They just won their sixth league championship in 7 years and 19th in the 26-year history of the league.
Is he a fan of the playbook?
He is a fan of the playbook.
How about that?
And he is a player on the East Side Razorbacks. They beat last year's reigning premier champions, the Adelaide Eagles, 27-22. They intercepted the ball on their own 5-yard line with less than 30 seconds to play. He tells me that quarterback Josh Welborn took a big hit on a failed trick play just after the half, but went on the play went on to play the rest of the game, only to find out later he had fractured his C6 vertebrae.
Wow. Those Aussies, they make them a little tougher down there.
Yeah, they do make them a little tougher down there. They really do, don't they?
Seriously.
That's very impressive.
To play with a broken vertebrae?
Very, very impressive. Played with a broken neck. So,
good on you, mate.
Good on you. Yeah, that's exactly right. East Side Razorbacks from South Australia, congratulations. Premier champions in Australia.
I'd like to go to Australia someday.
I got to go. I really want to go. That's obviously a part of the globe. Very difficult for us to get here, get to
it's
from the Northern Hemisphere.
We can go.
That's exactly right. But I would love to go.
Yeah.
This would be the time to go. It's summer.
It's summertime there. That's right.
Right?
Sydney, Melbourne, Queensland, all those places.
Well, he's in South Australia, so you know, that would be probably about
Wales,
as far as
maybe?
We could get.
Yeah.
I would love to go to Australia. I'd also love to go to New Zealand.
Yeah, it's right there. You got
to. You have to jump
Wellington.
Over or something, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Shannon, can you take care of us, buddy?
Give us a place to crash?
Yeah, absolutely. If you give us a place to crash, we'll get there. You know, you can show us around. Maybe we can even come for, your premiership season next year or something, huh? We'll have to come up with a way to do it. But congratulations to you and the East Side Razorbacks from South Australia. All right, back to the phones. Greg is in Chicago. Greg, you're in the playbook.
Yeah, hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Greg.
Good,
what's
Greg,
up?
What's up?
I got to tell you, there is not a chance that Denver wins this game. Have you guys seen them play?
Yeah,
we
in
saw
person.
Them.
Saw them play in person, actually.
I realize that, but they are pathetic. They've regressed, and I don't see any chance. I don't care how banged up the Pittsburgh may be, and they aren't going to play with the one safety.
All right, I hear all that. Let me just ask you one question.
Yeah.
How did you feel about the Giants' chances going into Super Bowl 42?
You know what, the Giants had a competent quarterback. They were rolling. They were playing really well. It's a completely different thing. They got hot at the right time, and they had a great defense.
No, I know. No. Listen, Greg.
Could actually throw.
Greg, I know looking back you can say all that. I want to know how you felt going into that game.
I don't remember what I did yesterday, let alone
You don't remember how you felt going into the only undefeated season in modern NFL history?
I felt that there was no doubt they're going to win.
Okay, so there's a chance that the Broncos have a chance. The Broncos have a chance. They're playing in the game. They have a chance. This is the NFL.
They have a okay. If you want to look at it that way, they have a chance. But they're not a good football team, and they have been proven to be not a good football team, and he's not going to be the starting quarterback long in this league.
All right.
He's just not a good player.
No, that's fine too. I just also want to point out that last year the Seahawks were a losing record team that made the playoffs and beat the defending Super Bowl champions. Just want to point that out when you say that teams have no chance because they're bad.
And they were at home,
just like the Broncos are going to be.
Yeah, well, we'll find out the hard way like we always do. But,
okay, yeah. This is true.
So I feel that my prediction is that the Bengals are going to be coming to town mm-hmm. in 2 weeks.
We agree.
And that I feel that 85% positive.
85, okay.
Yeah, because I think that, you know, listen, there's no one's perfect this year. The defense isn't playing, doesn't have, you know, a lot of strength. We know that. But I just don't think that, you know, the tough part for anybody else coming here is the tight end. They're a huge disadvantage, you know, or advantage. When you're, but they're very hard to cover. You know, who do you put on them? And that, and, mm-hmm. and the offense can score a lot of points. And I have a lot of faith that they will score a lot of points.
Well,
I'm not saying that we're going to win the Super Bowl. There's a difference. I'm just saying, you know, game one.
All right, and devil's advocate here. The Bengals have a really good tight end as well in Jermaine Gresham. They have mm-hmm. they have a better wide receiver, arguably, than anyone else that the Patriots have other than Wes Welker.
Okay.
They have a pretty decent running game, probably more consistent than New England's, wouldn't you say?
I'm not a big fan of him, but you know, he used to be here, so I don't like him.
Who used to be here?
Who used to be here?
Who?
In Chicago, Benson.
Cedric Benson.
Here. I thought
okay.
you meant here in New England.
Yeah,
I thought you meant here.
No, I'm in Chicago.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't like him. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't trust him when the chips are down. And you know, and their quarterback is good. I think he's got a good future, but he's a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I'm not saying that it's a guaranteed victory or anything. I'm just saying that, you know, New England, you know, I think can beat them.
I agree with you. I think that would be preferential than playing the Steelers in the first round.
Yeah, and you know, and the Steelers are going to be different than they were also, because first of all, the game's going to be New England, and Mendenhall isn't there anymore.
Yep.
And that is a big, you know, thing. But you know, the Patriots didn't play well in Pittsburgh, and really it was a one score game until the last play of the game when there was that safety. So on the road, having played really poorly, it was still only one score game.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's
you know,
a good point.
You can look at everything. I mean, the you know, I live in Chicago, so I hear how bad everything is here. So it's comical that everybody in New England's always crying. You know, they won 13 games. Defense stinks. You know, every city in America would take that.
Well, I think it's just that fans here have been burned the last couple of years with great regular seasons, only to see it be all for naught.
No, I understand.
So they're you know, and they're spoiled. Honestly, there's
no doubt about that. No,
the success
no doubt about
earlier.
It. Success definitely spoils you. That's human nature.
Of course. But you know what? I think that, you know, this year, I mean, the Packers, you know, are obviously the team to beat. New Orleans looks like a very tough juggernaut. But, you know, you'd only have to play one of them if you got that far.
Yep.
And in one game, you know, with 2 weeks to prepare, you know, I you know, take the chance. You know, they would definitely be the underdog, I would think, the Patriots.
Probably.
I would think the point spread-wise, they would be the underdog.
Probably.
But you know what? That's not a bad thing.
No, because frankly, being a home underdog, I think that would put a nice big boulder on their shoulder.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll see how it all rolls. So.
Absolutely.
But, thanks for taking my call. Happy New Year and go Pats.
Thanks, Greg. Yeah, I appreciate that. Nothing wrong with that. All right. Tim says, I'm tired of the sympathy being piled onto Houston by the media. Injuries, injuries, woe is them. The only reason they cakewalked their division is because of injury. Does anyone think it would have been such a breeze had Peyton been under center? Sure, Houston is talented, but they were last year with Schaub, Johnson, Foster, and Mario Williams. Couldn't get it done. Talent isn't everything. Look at Dallas and San Diego. That's a very good point, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't expect to see a change in kickoff philosophy. Bill seems to like that chance of a motivation swing at the half and would rather have that than give it up to the opponent. I happen to agree with that, but I do agree with you, Eric. I think it's time for throw a changeup.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we will play Cincinnati. I think they'll handle them comfortably. I think we match up nicely against them aside from Green, but one wideout won't kill us or we would have been under 500, and I'll take on a rookie quarterback in a playoff in the playoff pressure.
Don't sleep on Gresham.
I think McCourty will stay at safety for the game because his injury is stopping him getting a jam, and this keeps the receiver in front of him. If Cincy wins, that's also a pretty good point, actually. If Cincinnati wins this weekend, find out from Baxter next week what NFL history tells us about ginger QBs. We definitely will.
He also was, he started the game at corner. He was going in at safety, talking about McCourty here,
mm-hmm, right.
Nickel and dime packages.
Okay.
which, you know, they played quite a bit of.
They did.
So it seemed like he was in there.
They had Diamond there quite a bit.
They did. So it was kind of a full-time thing, but not quite.
Well, I liked it, though.
He was going back and forth.
I actually liked it. I think it was a nice move to see in that kind of a plus package.
And just showing a willingness to adapt to things and not being stubborn and sticking.
They're asking that of everybody in the secondary.
Which is why I don't think it's unreasonable to say, stop deferring when you win the coin toss.
Right, because you're throwing curveballs because you have to on the defensive side. Well, let's go to the offense for the first time and let's jump on them.
And don't think other teams aren't saying Patriots will defer when they win the toss.
It is kind of predictable, isn't it?
It's very predictable, even though Bill likes to say that it's a game-to-game decision. Well, if you do it every game, it's more than a game-to-game
decision. Then it's not a game-to-game
decision. It's predictable.
Yeah.
So do something unpredictable and take the ball.
I would agree.
Jam it down their throats. Opening drive.
Get a lead.
Get a lead.
And let the defense play with a little confidence rather than having to play, you know, tentatively.
Right.
Because I think that's part of the problem over the last 2 weeks.
Right.
They've been too tentative. They've been trying not to break. They've been bending, trying not to break, and they ultimately led a team in the end zone.
It will be nice, and we've heard the players say this, it will be nice to see how good this team can be when they play 60 minutes, which they've not done this year.
They played 30 minutes 2 weeks ago. They played roughly 45 this past week.
Yeah, they haven't played a 60-minute game all year.
It'll
be nice to see what they can do if they do actually play 60 minutes. And it'll help if they start by getting a lead.
Tim says, what's Brady's dome record? Eric's huffing and puffing negativity is reaching new heights today.
What is he talking about?
Well, you were talking
huffing
about
puffing negativity.
You were talking about New Orleans winning because they're in a dome.
Oh, I was saying they have an advantage.
Yes.
It's an advantage. I didn't say they were going to win. I just said they have an
Brady
advantage.
Brady has a pretty good dome record, too, though.
He has a pretty good record
anywhere. But doesn't he have, in a dome, like two losses, something?
I don't know.
I think it's something minuscule.
Well, he did lose in Indy 4th-and-2 year. What was that, 09?
Yeah. That was 09.
Right?
I think so.
I think that was 09.
I think that was 09.
And he lost there in the playoffs, in the AFC Championship game. That's
okay.
At least two losses right there.
So that's two right there.
09 at New Orleans, they got blown out.
Three.
Those are the three I can think of off the top of my head. But he has a good record. There's no doubt about that.
They lost to Houston too, right? Reliance Stadium, when Welker got hurt. Did we win that game? We didn't win that game.
Lost that game.
We lost that game.
Yeah.
So there's another one.
Yeah. Right, because the roof was closed that day.
I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was. Okay, anyway.
But it's still.
Still pretty good record.
Yeah. Still pretty damn good.
Tim says, just a shout out to Poli and the draft genius, too. So just
thought we'd throw a little that shot one in there.
Yeah, a little shot.
Parting shot.
I'm going to miss hearing him on the radio talk about the Patriots.
That's why we call him Bill Polian.
Bill Polian. That's right.
Mispronounce it on purpose.
The Patriots. Where did he ever come up with that? What a numbskull. I will always remember as well walking through the back of the press box when Doug Flutie was still playing quarterback, and the reports that I got, because I didn't see it, but plenty of people heard it and saw it, him pounding the desk, yelling to nobody in particular, break that little, you know, so-and-so's leg.
Oh, really?
And then, of course, then the Patriot, and then who was it? Was he? Who did Flutie kick the drop kicking? Wasn't it Miami?
Yeah, I think it was Miami.
I thought so. But he was in there. When was he in? He played against the Colts that year too, and I'm trying to remember what the play might have been that would have caused him to do that.
I don't remember that.
Do you remember that? Anybody remember that?
I don't.
But he went off. It was a playoff game. It was a playoff game because he was in the auxiliary press box because he was sitting in that back row on the red level here in the press box where they set up, you know, during the playoffs, and he was pounding the back of the table because several people saw it and heard it and were like, you know, who's making the ruckus? You turn around and see it's Bill Polian.
Yeah.
And he was talking about having to, you know, we need to break his effing leg and the blah,
it was
blah, blah.
Flutie?
You know? Yeah, it was Flutie he was talking about. Flutie. I swear it was Flutie.
Because Flutie's last year here was...
He was after the Super Bowls, wasn't he? Didn't he
I think come 05 after? Was the last year.
05, right. He left after the Super
Bowl. And they didn't play Indy in the playoffs
okay.
that year.
Maybe
they lost that out of Denver.
All right, maybe I'm hallucinating. I don't know. All right, what's this?
I don't think you're hallucinating about him throwing a fit in the press box, because that happens at every game.
Indoor games. 16 starts, 11-5.
So we named four.
Yeah.
We're missing
one loss. But in indoor games, he's thrown for 66% passing percentage,
yep,
as compared to outdoor games, 63%. He's thrown for an average of 267 yards per game. Outdoor games, mm-hmm, 239 per game. Indoor games, 31 touchdowns, 16 picks. Mm-hmm. That's almost a 2-to-1 ratio. Outdoor games, it's actually a little better. 222 touchdowns to 99 picks. That's a 2.2-to-1 touchdown to interception ratio. Mm. Slightly better in indoor games. Slightly better, but not much better.
Yeah.
In terms of the comparison.
Interesting.
There. Yeah, very. All right, so I'll see you for game show Thursday tomorrow.
Looking forward to it.
Okay.
Who's going to be our celebrity? Do we have one yet?
Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, it's time to pull up your britches, put on your Argyle sweaters, puff on your corn cob pipes, and gather round the fire for Eric Scalavino's Word of the Day.
Brought to you today by John Rook, actually. He threw out two for the price of one.
Yes, I did.
Jetsam and Flotsam.
Jetsam and Flotsam?
I will.
Flotsam and Jetsam.
Would you like to give the definition, or do you...
Flotsam and Jepsum? Flotsam is the stuff in my belly button after I get out of the shower.
Oh, boy.
Thank you very much.
Do you even know what it is? You don't know, do you? You've just heard the expression. You're busted, aren't you? Oh, man.
No, I know. I absolutely know.
Okay.
I absolutely know.
Then give it to us.
Flotsam and Jetsam basically means...
Well, they're two different things.
Okay. Oh, I didn't really.
Yeah.
Flotsam is different from Jetsam?
Yes.
I thought Flotsam and Jetsam
there's
meant...
There's a mnemonic that you can use to remember them. Flotsam is the debris that's left over after a shipwreck.
That's
floating.
Floating.
So flotsam.
Right. All right. I knew it had something to do with a wreck.
Right.
I wasn't sure. All right.
Jetsam is the debris that you toss out of a sinking ship or plane to try to lighten the load. Your mnemonic. And there's a distinction.
And this is why we have him on the program.
Yes.
So now we know what flotsam and jetsam really means. So flotsam is floats on the ocean.
That's the leftover after the wreck.
That would be
and the jetsam is the stuff that you jettison, that you throw away to try to lighten the load.
So all those people that died in the Titanic were flotsam.
And they were trying to jetsam out of there.
Oh, God. That's pretty sick, actually. Thought I'd just come up with that one.
No, they were. Some of them were trying to, like, the guy who owned the line. Ismay.
Yeah.
The guy who jumped on the boat with
with
the women and the children.
Yeah, okay.
Remember?
Yeah, I do
Saved
remember.
His own ass.
Right.
He was jetting himself out
That's
of
right. there. That's right. Okay. So you'll be part of Game Show Thursday tomorrow in our opening hour of the program tomorrow.
Yes.
Russell Baxter joins us in hour two to look at the wild card matchups.
Awesome.
So that'll be tomorrow's playbook.
Good way to end the week.
Way to go,
radio.
Baby. All right. Thanks, E.
All right.
All right. We'll pause here for a timeout. Don't forget webradio@patriots.com, the email address. Ace Ticket Hotline 508-298-0398. John Rook, R-O-O-K-E, is the Facebook page. @JRook0722 is the Twitter. Get it done. We need some answers today. Which and why? Which team do you prefer? Why do you prefer them? And what's your percentage chance of victory for New England in the divisional round of the playoffs? A lot of emails to get to. Still going to take your calls right here in the playbook.
Dear business traveler high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites. Your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
I love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots. Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
This is Patriots Playbook with John Rook on Patriots.com Radio. Want to get inside the playbook? Call John on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-298-0398 or email the show at webradio@patriots.com.
Hour number two inside Patriots Playbook. It's bye week for the playoffs. Patriots have the wild card weekend to sit, to collect their thoughts, to prepare for one of three potential opponents next week in the divisional round of the AFC playoffs by virtue of their first-round bye and number one overall seed in the AFC, second straight year that they've had that opportunity. And, of course, the Patriots hope that this year is unlike last or even the last 2 years in which they have failed miserably in the opening round of playoffs. But as we mentioned off the top of the program today, this is the week now, or we're entering the roughly two-week period now, that fans have been waiting for all year. There's no reason not to jump in and provide your thoughts and tell us exactly what you're thinking and how you feel the Patriots need to go about doing things and what needs to happen for the Patriots to have success and where you think the pratfalls might come from. And as we're asking today in the show, Which team do you feel like the Patriots will ultimately face and why? And what's your percentage chance of success? Three potential opponents. The lowest remaining seeded team after the wild card weekend could be Denver, could be Pittsburgh, could be Cincinnati. Won't be Houston as the three seed because they're too high. And the way that it's matched up, you'll have, if Cincinnati loses to Houston or the three, yeah, Houston, right. So if Cincinnati loses to Houston, Houston wins, then either the four or the five, that takes the six out of the way, the four or the five is going to advance, so Houston will be out because they're the three. So if Cincinnati does not beat Houston, then the second game of the day, I believe it is on Sunday, we'll all be watching because the winner of Denver-Pittsburgh will be coming to Foxborough. But if Cincinnati wins first, then it will be the Bengals here, and it really won't matter what happens Denver and Pittsburgh, at least not right away, because the winner of that game will then advance to move on and play Baltimore if Cincinnati wins. You follow me? So that's where we are in terms of potential playoff possibilities, at least to this point in time. Let me get to some of the emails here. Tim in Baltimore says, I would want to face Cincy not because Denver wouldn't be easier, but because if we play Cincy, that means that Baltimore will play Pitt. I still think that we have an 83.24% chance to beat Cincy. But Baltimore and Pitt typically destroy each other when they play. If we make it to the AFC Championship game, whatever team wins the Baltimore-Pitt game will be limping into Gillette. You know, that's actually correct, and that's actually what I think will end up happening. If I were to venture a guess, I would say, Tim, that I would give that about an 87.19% chance that will happen. And Baltimore or Pittsburgh, the survivor, will make it to Gillette. Keep in mind, obviously, as most fans know, Baltimore did beat Pitt twice during the regular season, which is why Baltimore got the two seed and Pittsburgh slid all the way to the five, because the division champions automatically get slotted in seeds 1 through 4. So there is some benefit to winning your division. That's how an 8-8 Denver team can have a home game against a team with a better record like Pittsburgh. But Pittsburgh finished second behind Baltimore. Denver won their division. I don't think that's necessarily a horrible way to do it, although I think the time has come to at least for the competition committee to at least consider reseeding. In a sense, that's kind of what they do anyway, because when you say that the lowest seeded team, you know, will go to the number one seed, in a sense, that's what you're doing. In a sense, that's what you're doing. Because if you did it on a straight, the six seed plays the three, and then the four seed plays the five, then the 4-5 winner would play the one, and the 3-6 winner would play the two. If you're doing it from a strict bracket sense, like an NCAA tournament setup, then the 4-5 winner would be coming to Gillette, and that means Denver or Pittsburgh would come to Gillette. But what you're trying to do, though, is you're trying to give, and this is what I agree with where the NFL did when they made this change. I agree with that the number one overall seed, I mean, there should be some benefit to surviving your division, surviving your conference, and having the best overall record in your conference during the regular season. You have to have some incentive for teams that have already clinched the playoffs, like the Patriots did, 3 weeks ago. You have to have some incentive for them to continue to play hard and put their regulars out on the field, even though they know they're going to be in the postseason. This is the incentive. You give them a chance to face what, at least on paper, would end up being the lesser-ranked opponent. So after the wild card, in a sense, they do kind of reseed. The lowest remaining seed is what will go play the number one, and then the other survivor will play the number two. I don't know if you agree or disagree, but I think that's the way to go. But I wouldn't mind seeing a total reseed of everything. I mean, let's face it. You know, team gets hot, gets into the playoffs. Let's say a team, rips off like six straight wins to squeeze into the wild card with a 9-7 overall record. Well, you might have to consider giving that team, a little bit more of a higher seeding just because of the way that they're playing lately. I don't know if you think that you'd want something like that to enter into the equation or not, but I think that should, you know, I think that would favor teams. If you really wanted to keep teams from tanking it, then you'd give some incentive to teams who finish hot late. And I think the only way you can really do that is by a complete and total reseed. All right, good stuff, Tim. You got me thinking on that one. This one comes from Chris in Seattle. Hey, John, what a great idea to have Manning on the New Jersey Jets. That would truly be a tremendous boon to the rivalries, Pats, Jets, and Brady Manning. While I used to hate Manning, I have to admit he's won me over a bit with the funny commercials and the inarguable fact of his great quarterbacking. Talk about a way to get the crowd going. Holy bleep. You know, I said that earlier for those that are just tuning into the program. I mentioned that I am rooting, and I told this to the PFW guys at the tail end of their show today. I'm openly rooting for Peyton Manning to join the Jets. I don't know that it will happen. I think it's an intriguing thing, and I think, you know, Peyton would have to look at it. I mean, I don't think there's any way now that Bill Polian is not in Indianapolis. I don't think there's any way now that they pay Manning his roster bonus. I mean, a new GM's got to come in and see that. I mean, why else would Jim Irsay make this move? New GM's got to come in and see that, you know, we need to rebuild here. It's time to retool. And for what we could get, probably draft-wise, from Peyton Manning, you know, they've got some personnel that, you know, still is in pretty good place and probably still has a couple of years left in him. I'm thinking on the defensive side of the ball, in Freeney in particular, and Mathis. But, you know, they got the number one pick. You could go get Andrew Luck, build around him. If you can stay healthy, you got an opportunity here to get competitive again fairly quickly. And so if you're Peyton Manning, you know that you're going to have a say-so in wherever you land. And the Jets are obviously, I mean, you know, going to be a team that they have to look at it. I mean, I know they're going to publicly say Mark Sanchez is still our guy, but I don't know how you can look at Mark Sanchez and say he's still our guy. The shortcomings are many. You will be admitting, however, that your picking of him, you know, high of the draft was ultimately a failure. But maybe, you know, I don't know. The Jets, I'm sure, are going to be internalizing about this, and I don't pretend to get inside their heads here. All I know is that if you have a chance, let's put it this way. If Tom Brady were to go down somehow, wouldn't you want to take a shot at getting Manning in here? If you had to replace him, maybe in the short term before a guy like Ryan Mallett's ready, wouldn't you think about it at least? Think of all the draft picks that the Patriots have hoarded over the years. I mean, I don't know about you, but I want to win. It's all about winning. Teams, franchises, players, they're remembered for one thing and one thing only. Did you win? And because of that, yeah, I'd want to take a shot at him. So if I'm a Jets fan, yeah, absolutely. Let's take a shot at him. Jets do need a little bit more help personnel-wise, but I think we all realize that their biggest setback, their biggest drawback might be a quarterback. Might be. So anyway, I think that we'd have a lot of fun. I mean, seeing Peyton Manning twice a year like the good old days when, you know, the Colts were in the AFC East, I think it'd be a blast. We'd have great stories to talk about. Our show would be rocking. Our fans and our stadium would be rocking for the Jets games even more than it already is. Ah, what a great story. I'd love to see that happen. Okay, Chris, he says, so stoked for the playoffs this year. I have a good feeling. I think we have a shot at reaching the Super Bowl to meet what will likely be a superior but not invincible opponent. I think the AFC is ripe for the picking, and everyone, including our beloved Pats, has their weaknesses. But I think our strengths are greater than that of all of our AFC foes. My preferred possibility, he says, Steelers 25%, most well-rounded team. Ravens 35%, solid D, questionable O. Bengals 40%, still young, though fun to watch. And he says, thanks for the great discussions. And he also says, in the divisional round, he says, Pats 36, TBD 20. What a guard on a limb there. All right. Bill sends this one. I hesitate to say who I'd prefer to face, because if I say Denver, because they are least scary, for example, I'd not be considering this is the team that beat the Steelers. Okay. I understand that. Oh, the Steelers are my pick. Pittsburgh is hurting. The crying of Steeler fans would be delicious. And he says, oh, what a question for Pete in the handoff. If Denver beats Pittsburgh and Baltimore, would he fear them in the AFC championship? All right, I'll hold on to that, William, and we'll see if Bill, we can come back to that. All right, good stuff. Howard, Shelton, Connecticut. John, yes, this is what we waited for all year. That said, this D still scares me. Cincy, because they have a rookie quarterback, and I believe BB will outcoach Marvin Lewis every day and twice on Sundays. Chance of playing them is 50-50, but the chance of beating them, if they play them, 90%, he says. Denver, because they beat them once, and Denver is a different team away from home. Chance of playing them, 25%. Pittsburgh is going to win this one, he says. Chance of beating them, though, 90%. Houston, stop their run game and you stop Houston. As to the coaching staff of Houston versus the Pats, refer to my comments about BB and Marvin Lewis. Chance of playing them, 50-50. Chance of beating them, 75%. And then he says, Steelers, they already beat the Pats once, but it was at Heinz Field. Chance of playing, 75%. Chance of beating them, 45%. Wow, Howard, you don't feel too confident about beating the Steelers this time around, even though you're going to have home field advantage. Says, at the end of the day, I will be a Cincy fan first this weekend, and if that doesn't work out, then I become a Denver fan. Hopefully one of those work out. Not a whole lot of confidence in your Patriots over the Steelers there, Howard. A little surprised with that, to be quite honest with you. I would have to admit that I would put a lesser percentage on the chances of beating the Steelers here than I would over the chances of beating Cincinnati or Denver. Frankly, right now, I would put, as I said this in the opening hour when we first opened up the discussion today, I put our chances of beating Cincinnati at about 80%. I put our chances of beating Denver at about 85%, slightly higher just because I believe the matchup favors New England better here in Gillette than it would in Mile High. And I put our chances of beating Pittsburgh here at Gillette at about 55 to 60. About 55 to 60, almost an even Steven, you know. But a lot of that I'm hedging on simply because of the injury situation and whether or not, A, Roethlisberger is still healthy, B, Mendenhall comes back, C, Ryan Clark is a part of the equation as well, because obviously we know that, you know, he's a pretty strong force back there in the secondary. So in that regard, yeah, I think Pittsburgh is definitely going to be the toughest of the opponents. But then if it's Baltimore, let's say Pittsburgh beats Denver and then Pittsburgh beats Baltimore in the divisional round. When you consider that, I'm not entirely certain that that percentage doesn't shrink a little bit. I'd probably keep it about the same. I'd say 55 to 60%, either Pittsburgh or Baltimore. And the reason is because, A, Pittsburgh beat the Patriots earlier this year. So I think that would be incentive enough for the Patriots. B, because Baltimore's responsible for one of those early season losses 2 years ago in the playoffs, early, you know, round playoff losses. They lost to Baltimore here 2 years ago in the divisional round. So I think that, or in the wild card round. So I think that Patriots, there's at least a few guys that would be motivated enough to know that, hey, Baltimore's the one that beat us last. Let's jump on these guys. Yes, the percentage is less than what it would be against Cincinnati or Denver, but I'd say that the percentage is about even. And I had a very astute emailer in the opening hour of the program that also said, hey, you know what? Pittsburgh and Baltimore would have to play each other in that instance, so let them beat the crap out of each other, and we'll take the survivor. And I actually like that scenario, too. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. In other words, I don't think there's any reason for, you know, out-and-out panic if Pittsburgh beats Denver this weekend. I don't think there's any reason to panic. Because then they got to go to Baltimore, and you know Pittsburgh's going to put everything they can into beating Baltimore because Baltimore licked them twice already this year. And Baltimore, you know, is going to have to expend a lot of energy, if not personnel, in order to get by Pittsburgh for a third time. That doesn't happen often. I don't think it's a bad scenario. This is why you play for the number one seed. This is why it was important, and I didn't really get a chance to rag on Eric about this because he wanted to lay Brady out last week, as I know many of you, you know, recalled. But this is why you play for the number one. So you have this opportunity. You played. You earned it. You won the games that were on your schedule. Don't give me any of the, well, there's not enough quality opponents there, so I don't really like the Patriots' chances. Well, I understand that. But you can only win the games that are on your schedule. And I understand the style of win and how they had to come from behind and spotting the team's 21 points and yada, yada. I get all of that. I get it. Did they win the game? Did they win the game? Did they win the game? Yes. 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 That's all that matters. And they did it without playing a complete game. They spot Miami 17. They score 27 in the second half before Miami scores to make it close late. They spot stinking Buffalo 21. I mean, come on. We were all, I mean, I know you were, I was, we all were incredulous this past Sunday. Didn't really get a chance to nitpick on it, so I'll nitpick on it a little bit here. But, I mean, you can't let that happen. I mean, you can't let that happen. If that happens in the playoffs, you're dead. You're DOA. You're dead before you start. Although, I think you could even make an argument that, well, you know, the Patriots are pretty resilient. Number one, I think it'd be hard for that to happen. Number two, if it does, well, you know what? They've done it before. And we've already suggested that there really isn't what we would consider a championship caliber defense in the NFL playoff tournament this year. So because of that, then why wouldn't you have confidence that the Patriots have the ability to come back over a potential playoff team, even if they do spot the team a 2 or 3 touchdown lead? I think it all depends on the manner in which you spot them a lead. If you're turning over the ball, if you're giving a team a short field in which to work, I think it is going to be inexorably, that might be another word of the day, it'll be a much tougher chance to come back if you're making the team drive 70, 80 yards, which is really what Buffalo did this past weekend. It's not great. We can nitpick all over the defense, and we've done it all year long, and frankly, I'm kind of tired of picking on the defense. It is what it is, to borrow Bill's well-worn cliche. It's not going to be anything better. We did see, however, Patrick Chung return to the lineup this weekend, step in the right direction. We saw Devin McCourty in dime packages play some safety. I think that's a step in the right direction. We saw guys' willingness to move around and play where they're needed. We saw them give Buffalo a different look, and we saw that also lead to some indecision and potential confusion from Ryan Fitzpatrick this last weekend, and you end up picking him off and turning the Bills over 4 times. That helped. And then it ends up becoming a walkover. You win by 28. 49 unanswered points. The Patriots have the confidence, I think, to get on a roll against anybody, and I think that is what is going to hold them in pretty good stead. Hi, John and Eric. No, Eric's not here anymore. My name is MJ from Taunton. First-time emailer, long-time listener on both the Playbook and PFW shows. You guys do a great job. On to the defense. I feel the competition this postseason, as opposed to previous postseasons, is a bit mediocre, with the exception of Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers. That being said, this defense has made Dan Orlovsky and Matt Moore look like Pro Bowlers. I see no reason why they couldn't make it to Indy this year, but we've all seen crazier things happen. I was just curious on what you guys think of the biggest improvements in the last weeks of the season defense has made and what still needs to be accomplished. Thanks for the email, MJ. Appreciate your taking the time to contribute. Biggest improvements. I think that they have overcome some of the adversity with guys like Andre Carter being hurt. They've maintained at least an adequate pass rush. I wouldn't say outstanding, but I'd say it's adequate. And I think the adequate pass rush is still allowing the defense to be able to cover, although for some reason or another, the philosophy that the Patriots are using defensively is just wrong this year. And I've heard Rodney Harrison talk about this several times, and they're playing way too soft. I like the fact that they're playing more nickel and dime packages. You're forcing teams to try to take advantage of that, which means then teams become more predictable. If you're out there with 6 defensive backs, what are you begging the opposing team to do? You're begging them to run, or you're begging them at the very least to look at the tight end and throw short and maybe even dink and dunk a little bit. Love that phrase. Okay, so that's what you're begging them to do. Patriots did that this last week against Buffalo. Got a couple of tips, boom, got a couple of picks too out of it. So I could certainly see them really changing things up. And I think that the versatility, more than anything, MJ, has been a huge improvement for this team defensively. They recognize their shortcomings. They know that they don't have the complete personnel picture available to really be effective. But what they can do is cause the other team some confusion, cause the other team just a split second of indecision. And as long as you're causing that other team not to pull the trigger on a pass for just a split second, you got it won. You have a chance now. You can recover. You can get a tip. You can do whatever. And the Patriots showed that against Buffalo. And I realize it was Buffalo. But keep in mind, Buffalo is a team that beat New England earlier this year. So their ability to adjust, their ability to be flexible, their ability to have different parts that you can insert into different holes, into different needs. That's where their improvement really has lied. Gene in Daytona. Our first opponent, whoever it is, will be our toughest. The reason why is the attention being given to the one and out talk, the last two, by the media, can get into a team's head, and that is what I am most worried about. Once they get by this game, no one will stop them. It's all a mindset. Pittsburgh will beat Denver and go to Baltimore and beat each other up. The Steelers will come to New England, dismantled team. The Packers will beat the Saints in the cold. The 49ers will do to Green Bay like Romeo did and will meet the 49ers in the Super Bowl, says Gene in Daytona. All right, Gene. Actually, I'd love for that to happen. I'd love to play the 49ers. I think the Patriots have a win. I think the Patriots would be Super Bowl champs if they get the 49ers. I'm going to hope for your scenario, Gene. Actually, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Gene has been one of the few regular emailers that has emailed in his predictions throughout the course of the year, every week without fail. And he's been, he was the one person that predicted the Buffalo loss. Correct me if I'm wrong, Gene, and I know you will, because I know that you listen to the program regularly. So I think you're the only one that picked Buffalo, and I think you picked one of the other two losses. I think you also said that'd be the only loss they'd have, so I got to call you out on that one, but you've been right way more than you've been wrong. So we might want to pay attention to what Gene in Daytona has to say. He might know something. Strippers is booing Eric. He says, much better QB rating, better completion rating, better touchdown to interception ratio. He says, Flacco was better in 2009 than he is this year. I don't like Joe Flacco at all. I'll take my chances with Joe Flacco, period. Period. Regardless of what he did this year as opposed to 2009. Joshua says, hey, can we please stop with the 2009 Ravens playoff win talk, which is part of our conversation in the last hour. 2 years ago equaled a huge change in the potency of the Patriots offense. 2 years older on the Ravens defense. That game would have about as much to do with this year's matchup as opportunity has to do with Eric's dry spell. In other words, nothing. Go Patriots, bring on the Bengals and then the Ravens. Okay? William says, Wild Bill, 90% chance the Pats will beat them. He likes the Bengals to come to town. Go Pats, crazy Pats fans stuck in North T country in San Diego. Pats all the way to the Super Bowl, Wild Bill in San Diego. Thank you, Wild Bill. TG and NJ checks in. John, the Steelers beat the Broncos, but they don't cover. Houston gets by Cincy, so we will face the Steelers. Don't fret, Squiddy. The Steelers are all banged up from the Broncos game. We will beat them 100%. So there. All right. Squiddy. He's talking about Eric. Brian in Longview, Texas. John, happy new year. For some reason, I feel Denver has a very good chance of beating the Steelers because they are coming into the playoffs wounded like crazy. Obviously, Tebow has the capability of winning close games this season, and the Steelers' offense is depleted with Big Ben not 100%, and Mendenhall is out, which will keep this game close. I say Broncos win 13-10. Yeah, I would agree with that one, Brian. I think if the Broncos do win, it'll be a very low-scoring game. One more thing I wanted to add regarding the Patriots and the D. Everyone is concerned about the slow start for both the offense and the defense here recently. I know it's uneasy seeing this, but on the upside, it's not how you start a game, but how you finish it. At least we're finishing strong and still getting the W's. Go Patriots, he says. All right, Brian, good point you brought out there. You're absolutely right about that. Patriots are very strong finishers. You might say they're the ultimate closers. The ultimate closers. All right. I think this is Sheila that just sent me a personal email. and it has a photo. I wish we could post it. We can't. But it's good. Thank you. You made me laugh. All right. Oh. I'll share the. I'll here. That's not fair. I get it. It's not fair. All right. Hold on. All right. Let me open this up real quick. I just can't show you the picture. Sends this. How do you pronounce Oklahoma? Do you think it's correct? There's a right way and a wrong way to pronounce Oklahoma. If you say Oklahoma, you're wrong. The proper way is Oklahoma. There's a gap between the A and the H, and I can prove it. And then she sends me this picture of this rather buxom young lady who has a rather large gap between the word Okla and Homa. Did you see this one, Kev? You got to open up the email. She says, there, you learned something today. I do love these educational emails, don't you? It's good. It's all good. Thank you. All right, you got to open that one up, Kevin. Tell me if you don't agree on the correct pronunciation of Oklahoma. Strippers would know. This one's right up his alley. Yeah, I know. Pretty sharp, huh? Pretty sharp.
Oh, hot. Want to touch the hiney?
Oh, goodness. All right, Joshua says, Rook, below you will find the only plays Flutie had against the Colts as a Patriot. He was with the Patriots in 05 only, and the Monday Night Football game I was there was the only time that year the Colts played the Patriots. It was a massacre. It was also the game where Dwayne Starks was injured, and Ellis Hopps finally got his shot to play corner consistently. At the time, it was a godsend. Anyway, I don't see anything out of these plays where he would come in at the end of the game that would have caused Polian to scream and pound his fist. Okay, thank you for sending that, Joshua. Appreciate that. I swear it was about Doug Flutie he was talking about, though. All right. Anyway, what do I know? I'm getting senile in my old age anyway. Fat Pat, sup, John? I don't care who we face in the playoffs. There is no way we lose the first game. I just don't see it happening again. Past few playoff games, I had something in the back of my mind, not liking either matchup with the Jets and especially the Ravens, but this year I just don't see it. Give me Pittsburgh, damn it. Everyone is just scared of them because that's the last team that beat us. I don't believe Bill is going to let them do what they did to us again in 1 year. Plus, the burger is on a bum ankle. Even if he isn't, I have more confidence in our defense with a scrambling QB than a pocket passer. Sounds crazy, but that's how I feel. On a side note, you said at the end of the PFW show that you would like to see Manning on the Jets. Well, yes. I've been telling my friends this all week. I think he's done. Okay. I see what you're saying. I think penis, he says, is done. And one good sack may mean his career. I guarantee his Jets woes or the Jets woes will continue. Oh, and by the way, Brady's other dome loss was the game in Arizona. There's your fifth. Yes. We finally discovered that one. Thank you, Fat Pat. Okay. Chad says, John, Kev, good question. I'm not quite sure who will be winning those wild card matchups. My take is the Broncos will win, believe it or not, in an ugly, ugly and pathetic game. I just don't think the Steelers are really playing well and on a consistent momentum. Tebow sucks, no question, but somehow the Broncos win this game 7-3. I hope they don't, because the media then will go nuts over it. Let the media go nuts. Who cares? Who cares what the hell the media thinks? I hope that's why I hope he gets in. I hope Denver wins. I really do. I hope Denver wins. I don't think it's going to matter because I also think Cincinnati's going to win. So I think we get the Bengals here next week. But so what if Denver wins? Let the focus be on Tim Tebow and Denver. Who the hell cares? I think it'd be great. Fantastic. They're not going to beat Baltimore. Baltimore's going to come here for the AFC Championship. I think Baltimore probably also beats Pittsburgh. At least right now I'm thinking that. I'm going to wait and I'm going to hedge on that one just slightly because I do think that, you know, in theory, it might be difficult for to beat a team three times in a year. It usually is. Doesn't mean it can't happen. But statistically, you'd have to say, yeah, that's tough. But right now, if Pittsburgh doesn't get a little healthier, then I would say, yeah, I kind of like Baltimore to slug their way out of it and Baltimore to come limping in here for the AFC title. That's kind of what I'm thinking right now anyway. All right. He says, I think the Bengals will beat the Texans. I'll take the hottest quarterback. I'm picking Dalton. For me, the Bengals are a lot more operational and have more firepower than the Texans. Seriously, beating the Jags, Colts, and Titans is not an accomplishment. Who we face, we will beat them. I don't buy the sectarian media punk haters on NFL Network who literally hate us to death and fantasize over the Ravens and Steelers. Yeah, except the reality is that those two teams haven't clinched home field, and taking into the consideration the joke of a schedule they benefited, those teams don't impress me. But if the Steelers make it to Fox, man, that's fine with me. Kicking those loudmouths in the butt sounds awesome. Yep, I agree. Yep, and you're right about the NFL Network. Those guys are all, a lot of them, former players and coaches who subscribe to the old school theory that defense wins championships, and they just haven't warmed up to the fact that it isn't the same game now that they played when they were in the game. It's not the same game. It's a different game. It's a different era. Go away, Dion. Go away, Marshall. Go away, all of you, okay? Go away, everybody on NFL Network. I do not listen to those guys on NFL Network. I don't, because they don't get the picture. Those guys played the game before offense, before the rules changed to favor offenses. And I don't think I've heard one analyst on the NFL Network say that. Now, it may very well be that they have, and I just wasn't paying attention, or that I didn't happen to see that show. I have yet to hear anybody say why offenses are doing what they're doing. And if you've actually heard them say that, I would welcome you telling me who it was, because I have a very low opinion of the NFL Network analysts. So I'd like to know. I haven't heard really too many guys on ESPN say that either. I've heard some guys on ESPN Radio. I've heard some guys locally say it. And if you've been a regular listener here on Patriots.com Radio and of the Playbook, you know we've been saying this since midway through the year, and maybe even a little before that. The game has changed. Dominant defenses don't exist, won't exist for the foreseeable future. The game has changed, people. I don't see that a dominant defense is going to exist. Gene sends a note back here. He says, the Broncos are not that good, but play inspired under Tim. The Steelers can lose if they buy into Tebow mania hype and lose focus and beat themselves. That's probably a good point. Erica from Mississippi. I want New England to play Pittsburgh. I think they have a 98.9% chance of beating them. I don't want them to have the easy route to the Super Bowl. I think they're already saying we haven't beaten any good teams. I think that when they beat the Steelers, it will give them a whole lot of confidence, not that they need it, when the Ravens come in. I'm overly confident that Belichick and Brady will not let the Steelers beat them twice. If it happens to be the Bengals, Broncos, or the Texans, then my confidence goes up to 99.9%. Notice, Erica, you're leaving that 0.1% chance. I guess that's for the haymaker, that, or the pick six or whatever that might happen, right? But it goes up from 98.9 to 99.9. Okay, fair enough. I think that's fine. Joshua says, maybe it was the game where the Colts played the Bills when Flutie was with them. It's possible, but it was Pelion here in Foxborough Stadium. Oh, it wasn't Foxborough. It was at Gillette Stadium. It was here at Gillette. Swear. I don't know. Maybe I'm mixing things up. Sorry. Sorry to bother you, Joshua. He's trying to help me out here, I think. John says, John, I would rather play the Steelers than the Broncos. Here's why. The Steelers are depleted and hurt. We know this team. They are well scouted. We owe them one after the crappy loss last time. I think we'd be motivated to beat them. Whereas the Broncos are unpredictable. Not necessarily good, just unpredictable. They have become the any given Sunday team. Okay. Frankly, you're right about, you know, if you really want to shut up the naysayers on the television networks and the analysts there, if you want, you know, if you're upset with them, then you want to play the Steelers, and then you want to play the Ravens after that, because frankly, you will go through the two teams that, you know, NFL Network analysts at least seem to love, because they quote unquote play defense. So if you actually want to have, you know, some credibility thrown your way, if you're playing, you know, Green Bay or New Orleans or San Francisco or whomever survives the NFC for the Super Bowl, then, yeah, I think you would want to root for Pittsburgh to win. You would want to root for Houston to win. And then you would want Pittsburgh, you know, to win as well. So, anyway, just some food for thought where that's concerned. You probably want to take the higher road if you possibly can. overall. Let's see if we've got, I think I got a couple others here. Wow. All right, some of these emails are not coming through. What is this? Page cannot be found? Okay. How about that one? Did you just eliminate a bunch of emails? That's weird. Okay. Never mind. That one comes through. For some reason or another, they're not opening up. Okay. Let's see if we'll give it a couple of minutes to see if it can correct itself here. Here we go. Oh, yeah, all right. Brandon says, we have the benefit of already having played the Steelers because the Patriots effectively play teams a second time because of game plan and adjustments, especially when they lose, because the other team fails to make adjustments to their previous game plan. My fear is, however, we don't have the personnel to do so this year. I think that's part of the reason, Brandon, why you've seen such, you know, flexibility in some of the lineups that you see out on the field. And while you see a guy like McCourty move over to play safety a little bit, and while you see that nickel and dime package that's out there a little bit more often, where you almost force teams to have to want to run the ball, and then you become a little bit more predictable on offense. And you want a team to be a little bit more predictable on the offensive side if you're undermanned defensively. Stands to reason. If you think you know what's coming, you got a better chance to stop it, right? So that's why you throw out some of those personnel settings.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? I'll ask you the question, Pete. Our question today was...
You got to think now?
Yeah, I know. Sure. Right. It's horrible, isn't it? Having to think here. Which team most likely to be here, or which team do you want to be here, and why, and what's your percent chance associated with that in being successful and getting off the schneid and winning a first-round playoff game?
Well, I mean, last Thursday I wasn't here, so I couldn't do my picks, as I had a personal thing I had to take care of. But the Wednesday before, a week ago, I said everything I said happened. I thought Denver would lose again. Ugly to Kansas City, they did. I thought Cincinnati would get in. I thought the Jets would lose. Everything, the playoff scenario happened exactly as the way I thought it would. And I said last week, I think Cincinnati will beat Houston. It'll be a close game. Should have beaten them the last time. Mm-hmm. I mean, Yates had a pretty good game-winning drive a few weeks ago. They nipped out a two-point win. But I think... I thought Baltimore would lose in Cincinnati. And if it wasn't for a cruddy, and I mean a crappy, horribly officiated call, a pass interference call that should have been called because Green got dragged down, and it should have been first and goal for Cincinnati. That game could have changed, but it didn't. They got in anyway because the Jets are terrible like I thought they would be. And, I think Cincinnati will be here. And it'll be Cincinnati here. And, you know, again, go look at these schedules. Go look and see who. All right, the Steelers beat the Patriots on the 30th of October. Okay, go look who else have they beaten that you think is great. Who else? I mean, I've gone through all the schedules. The 49ers are the other big fraud team. Who have the 49ers played that has any kind of prolific offense like the Patriots or the Saints? Or you want to talk about? Dallas beat them. It was the week after Romo screwed up, one of his screw-ups against Detroit. Remember, he had that horrible game at home? And then he went out to San Francisco and beat the 49ers. That's probably the best offense they've played all year. They look at the schedule of those teams that they've played and who they've gone up against. You got to be kidding me. That's why some of you talk about people talking about who the Patriots have beaten. Let me tell you something. They keep forgetting that all these teams are 8-8 because the Patriots beat them.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, they'd be over 500. That's why they're 8-8. And also, you have to take into consideration when they played them. They played the Jets after the whole planet except me said they were going to lose. And I said after they lost, what did I say after they lost to the Giants? That they are not going to lose another game all year. They played the Jets when the Jets were on a three-game winning streak and everybody thought they were going to overtake the Patriots in the division. They played Philly. Philly had everything on the line in that game. Everything on the line. Patriots whipped them in the end. Even going back earlier than that, the Oakland game, they rebound after the Buffalo loss. They go to Oakland and they beat up, at the time where Oakland was playing pretty well. Shut down McFadden for a lot of that game.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take into consideration these. I'll tell you, there was nothing more embarrassing the other night on Comcast to watch Shaughnessy and Borges completely, totally embarrass themselves as journalists. Complete embarrassment. And Shaughnessy, who wouldn't know a freaking football from a grapefruit, is talking to like Panic City and it's all smoke and mirrors and everything else. Laziness, lazy journalism, lazy. These people are not doing their homework. It extends to ESPN. The NFL Network is a joke. If you listen to Cordell Stewart this morning, and a couple topics he was right on, but when he and Parker start talking about the Patriots defense, and they bring up one aspect of the defense, it's embarrassing. And Skip Bayless, who is in love with the Patriots, which kind of, I'm worried about that, but you know, tries to counter with these points, and they don't want to hear it because it's laziness. Look at all the schedules. Look at all these teams. I've done it. I've broken it all down. I've seen everything that these teams have done. This is what I do. I go backwards and forwards with these schedules. And I get to go look at who's Baltimore beaten. Besides, I mean, they beat the Steelers, but I'm talking about right now, the way these offenses are playing. You think the San Francisco 49ers will play that kind of defense against the Patriots, New Orleans, or Green Bay? No way. The best offense that they played all year was Dallas, and they lost. And that's saying something. That's saying something. They just got lucky they didn't get Romo in December, where he always loses. But it is so much more, John, to these all these numbers that people are getting all excited about or getting concerned about. And I'm not saying everything's perfect. We know. But if you do your homework and you look at the schedules and you look at the quarterbacks some of these playoff teams have faced and you look at the defensive numbers, it's not that impressive. I don't care that Pittsburgh and San Francisco are like second and third in points allowed. Look at the quarterbacks and the offenses they came up against. Yes, they held the Patriots to 17 that one day, October 30th. They kept Brady off the field, 41 minutes of possession time. And it was still a one-score game at the end. It wasn't like they lost 52-10.
Right.
You know, that's as badly as they played all year. This team is one bad deflected pick six away in Buffalo, and Sergio Brown's bad, which was his fault. I'm not saying it was a bad call. He deserved it. A bad interference call for being 15-1. Two plays, they could be 15-1 very easily. I am sick and tired of the laziness of the media. Not so much in this town, with the exception of the two I just mentioned, who are a joke. We all know that when it comes to the Patriots. But nationally, to listen to these buffoons on ESPN and NFL Network, and they really, it's just pure laziness, John. Most of them. Not every one of them.
Well,
most of them.
It's they're, like I suggested,
they're trying to
earlier,
sell their product on their
sure,
network.
Sure, and they're too used to the way things were when they played.
Yeah, and it's not
and
that
it's
way.
It's not that way
Remember,
anymore.
Remember, the first day after we came, the next week after Green Bay had beaten New Orleans, a game they should have lost, by the way, if it wasn't for Peyton's dumb coaching, I came on here that Tuesday after. I said, I replayed my own show. It's still up there. I just to see them, you know, they're not full of crap. I'm telling you, I said it then, and I think we talked about this from week one. I said, if you think there's going to be any of these outstanding defenses like they were in 2000 with the Ravens or 85 with the Bears or some of Dallas's maybe, and those days right now are
sadly
done.
Mistaken.
They are done. What I don't understand is how morons like Chris Carter could go on the air on a daily basis and talk about the Patriots defense being worse in the league, still doing it when the Packers finished worse than they ever did. The Packers actually finished worse than the Patriots, 32nd in yards allowed and worse in points allowed.
Right.
So how does Chris Carter keep his job? How do guys like that continue to go on the air and keep their job? It's just absolute hatred.
Because he's a
name. It's hatred. It's bias. And Parker this morning brings up freaking Spygate.
Yeah.
Come on. Grow the bleep up. I challenge any of those morons. They can call me. Call me Collect. I'm here. We should get all these. I don't know if we can get these idiots on the phone, Kevin. But I'll take any. We want Cordell Stewart. I want that guy Parker. All of them. Get them on here. Let's have a debate. I can counter everything they said because everything they have brought up the last couple of weeks is nothing short of sheer journalistic laziness. Absolute laziness.
You're asking players, though, who have no journalistic background to be journalists.
I don't. Well, that's what they're getting paid for. They're getting paid to be analysts. And why they keep having Cordell Stewart try to assess the Patriots? Is beyond me. Now, to his defense, I will give
him the
today exactly. And he's and you know, then they had a couple of other debates. And my weekly, my daily fix now. I love the show First Take on ESPN because I laugh at it. The analysis is so off base so much of the time. But I will give them their due. Today they had a really nice discussion about Tim Tebow and race, which. Something that I really didn't think about, but something that I kind of have said from the beginning, that if Tim Tebow's name was anybody but Tim Tebow, he'd be laughed out of the league right now.
Mm-hmm.
Laughed at on a daily basis. But they had a really nice discussion about how race, you know, and Cordell was bringing up, you know, about black quarterbacks not getting their fair share, who did a lot better than what Tebow's done statistically in 7 or 8 games and all that. He made some very valid points. I didn't agree with all of them, but I understood exactly what he was talking about. I thought he was very, very fair about it. I understood it exactly. Then he starts talking about the Patriots and making these, again, black or white statements, all the net yardage stuff. Bayless is trying to counter with the turnover differential. They just throw their hands up. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it. And you know what you never hear, John? You know what the Patriots give up in the second half of the season on average in the last 8 games in the second half?
What?
Well, how many points did they give up in the second? The last 8 games of the year on that? Guess how many?
Not many.
Seven. A game. Doesn't that count for something? Shouldn't that count for something? Is that not coaching? Is that not adjustments? We want to continue to say that turnovers don't mean anything.
Right.
Or they don't count. They are as significant, much more than net yardage.
Correct.
They lead the AFC. They're plus 17. They're third overall in the NFL. You know what? Some of these people, you know, they can kiss my ass.
There you go. Pete is rocking.
It's so bad. I got a lot more. I'm just warming up.
Okay. And he'll be here in just a couple of minutes. I want to thank Tim, one of my Facebook friends here, for pointing out that I am not senile. Because I was talking about how Bill Polian was pounding his fist on the desk at Gillette Stadium a couple of years ago, and I thought it was just a few years ago. And I guess it happened in 08. At any rate, he sends me this blog note here that says, sounds like Peyton Manning wasn't the only one who wanted to get the Patriots off their back and finally beat them. While Tony Dungy, Peyton Manning, and company were downplaying the significance of the win after the game, one person let their emotions all out during it. Bill Polian, the Colts president, seemed to want to beat the living pulp out of the Patriots. Maybe losing all the time to them brought out the Terry Tate office linebacker in him. He was sitting in the press box a couple of rows down from reporters who wrote about his behavior and comments during the game. This actually came from Tom Curran, who, of course, as you know is with Comcast. But he says how Polian had his own headline press box sideshow in which his outbursts were described as pounding his fist repeatedly on a table, throwing a left hook into the air, whipping his notebook, leaping from his chair, and cursing unintelligibly under his breath. When the Colts scored a late touchdown to go up 40-21 and lined up for a two-point conversion, the Patriots were in the midst of changing personnel. In an effort to buy time, Belichick threw his challenge flag onto the field. There's just one set of rules for him and one for everybody else, raged Polian. Just kick the bleepin' point, someone in the press box suggested. Kick it bleep, answered Polian. And then here's the part about Flutie that I thought I had remembered. 4 seconds remaining, Patriots hurrying to the line to squeeze off one final play in a 40-21 blowout win by Indy. Colts president Polian said with annoyance they're trying to run another play. He's going to throw another pass. And his backup quarterback, Doug Flutie, rolled out with the pressure on his heels. Polian muttered, break his leg.
Yep.
All right. I thought I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, Tim, for pointing that out. I'm not senile.
Oh, yeah. And they never pumped in fake noise in that ridiculous stadium either, right? Yeah, please.
Right, exactly.
Please.
All right, last note goes to...
Spygate my ass.
last thought to Mary Beth, who says, I feel the Pats will host the Bengals. I'm 95% certain they can win that game. I see our offense continuing to score and the defense continuing to force turnovers and hold the line when necessary. Unfortunately, I will be driving from Syracuse to Massachusetts tomorrow and will miss the game show. Oh, she won, I think. Didn't she win the game show last year? Or last when we played it earlier this year? Okay. Well, anyway, she says happy weekend. Thank you, Mary Beth. We'll do so. And same to you. All right, kids, Pete's coming up next. Don't forget tomorrow, though. Tomorrow, game show Thursday. We promised it during the bye week over the playoffs.
Is that match game thing again?
Match game will be around. So if you're around, Pete, you're welcome to sit
on
the panel.
Oh, yeah, last time.
We'll be doing it.
If you want me, I will be here.
Absolutely. We want you here. So, you know, Pete says he'll be here.
Nice.
Eric will be here tomorrow. Kevin will be here tomorrow. Opening hour from 2 to 3 Eastern time tomorrow. We'll have prizes to give away. We're going to play game show Thursday, and then Russell Baxter, our pro football guru, will be with us in hour 2 tomorrow to look at the wild card matchups and see who he thinks might be in Foxborough for the playoffs.
You're not going to have a voice tomorrow after the Friars upset number 1 Syracuse tonight. Double overtime.
From your mouth to you-know-who's ears.
82-80, Friars. Double overtime.
Right, we'll hold you to it. Pete's coming up next.
Smell of wine and cheap perfume. For a smile, they can shine. Wednesday through Thursday. Hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
I'm pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program. Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook. Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.